I grew up hearing a story. I used to hear it when I was hear the ministers preach it. And it always made a great impression on me. I thought about this story with the scriptures the Lord laid on my heart today. A young man was swimming in the ocean, and a man saw him from the shore, and he saw him go down and not come up. So the man on the shore swam out and rescued him, saved his life, brought him back in. And later, the young man that had been swimming got into some trouble and showed up in the courtroom at his trial, and he recognized the judge. He said, "Oh, you're the man who saved my life. Why don't you save me now from going to jail?" And the man that was in the judge's place, he said, "Sir," he said, "at that time, I was your savior, but today, I'm your judge." And he wasn't able to save him from the judgment. He had to go ahead and be his judge. So I have on my heart today the very solemn truth that God, the God whom we serve and who loves us and who sent his son to save us, he really is the judge of all the earth. And the saints of old, I mean of old, looking back at even Abraham in Genesis 18. People who knew God and knew about God and knew how that God had created the earth, God had walked with Adam and Eve, and he taught them many things. And he taught them, I'm sure, the purpose of man and why he had created man and what man was his purpose on the earth, and then that there was a hereafter, there was eternity ahead, and that there would be a judgment day. The old saints knew that. Abraham, when God came down to talk to him about what he intended to do with Sodom, Abraham questioned the Lord about it in Genesis 18, and this question in verse 25. He was reasoning with God, and he said, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And so we can see here that Abraham, he wasn't questioning God's ability to judge. He wasn't questioning him about being fair or equal, but he was just saying, "You're the judge of all the earth. You will do right. Whatever you do, it will be fair and it will be the right thing to do. There's no one who can question you. You're the judge of all the earth." So Abraham knew that. The scripture, and there's a verse in Jude, nearly the end of the Bible, but it points back to something that Enoch said. Enoch was a man who walked with God 300 years. He was taken. The scripture says God took him. He was a righteous man. He walked so close with God that translated him so that he didn't have to see death. He didn't go through the valley of death. God just took him. He just walked with God. And in my mind's eye, I can just see they just walked right up the hill, and they just kept walking, and they rose and went into the air, just like someday Christ returns and those who love him and obey him are going to meet him in the air. Well, Enoch did that with God way back there at the beginning. But Enoch, it says in Jude, that he prophesied of the judgment. So in those talks that Enoch had with God, God shared with him of the things that he was going to do clear at the end of time. We haven't even seen the end of time yet. But Enoch testified of the judgment. It says, he prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So there is someday going to be a judgment, and God is the judge of all the earth. So it's a very solemn thought to that we have this morning. And I know we're sleepy and tired. We all had our busy days yesterday. I'm tired too. And I understand the yawns and the closed eyes and all that. I understand all that. But I do hope that you will think, ponder in your heart one more time this morning of this truth that God is going to judge the earth. And Jesus was sent here to be our Savior, but he also came to establish this truth. Paul said this in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. It says, in verse 30 it says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent because, verse 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And we know that's Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance, or he has offered proof to all men that there's going to be a judgment. That's what this is bringing out. He hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So Jesus' very death and resurrection, it offers proof that Jesus is our Savior, but he is one day going to be our judge. Jesus said it in John. I want to see how he said this here. John chapter 12. And verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Now he was talking about his place as Savior. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So, God is going to judge the earth by the words of his son, Jesus. The words Jesus says are going to judge us in that last day. So we are looking, we have been appointed, one scripture says, Hebrews 9:27, isn't it? As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, what?
The judgment.
The judgment. So Christ, it says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He was our Savior and our substitute. He came to do that, but he's coming again as judge. So unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming to be a sin offering or a sin substitute when he comes. He's going to come in power and glory. I believe that's brought out in one of what he told the people there. Let me find this, and I believe it's Mark. Let bear with me here. Well, I was looking for the place, and it may be Matthew. Matthew 13. Oh, it's, I'm sorry, Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. These are Jesus' very words. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And it talks, he's going to talk to them. It tells what he's going to say to them. I'll not go into that right now. It's a very important part because it tells us of how he's going to judge the world. Sometimes people get a grudge against God, and they think that God's not fair. But I want to assure you this morning that God is always fair. He is very fair. His judgment is going to be without error. His judgment is going to, he looks, the burden of my heart is really how God judges. Let me look at this in Isaiah chapter 11. This one tells us a little bit about how God judges. Isaiah 11, and it says in verse 3, this is a prophecy of Jesus. It shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, he's not just going to look at you and decide your eternal state by how you look. Isn't that a comfort? That's a real comfort. He doesn't judge after the sight of his eyes. He doesn't. One scripture says, God told Samuel, God seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? At the heart. So God judges a person by what's in their heart. You and I, we can't really see what is in people's hearts, can we? We can't tell. We can maybe look at someone and they look so good. Have you ever been fooled by someone? I have. Didn't realize that things were in their heart, that they were thinking at the very time I was talking to them and so impressed with them and thinking that they were wonderful, and at that same time, things were going on in their heart that was not good. God is never mistaken. One scripture says there in John, talks about how that John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, Jesus did not commit himself unto them. This is talking about the Jews, the many Jews that were around him. He didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He does know every heart. He knows the secrets of men's hearts. Where's that scripture? 1 Corinthians, or let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe. It tells us not to judge. He said, Paul is speaking here in verse 3. He says, I don't judge my own self. Therefore, I know nothing by myself or against myself. If I would judge myself, I would think, there's nothing wrong with her, with him. He's saying, he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. So God, he knows the secret and the hidden things of men's hearts. We don't know. Really, there's a, when someone leaves this world and we gather all the information that we have available, and we want to know, did they make it to heaven? It's really, when it comes right down to it, we really can't just say, oh yeah, they went to heaven. We can't just say that and know. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We can take their testimony and the fruit of their life and make a pretty good, what would you say, decision. You know, maybe they died saying, praise the Lord, I'm covered with the blood. You would look at that and you would think, oh, you know, thank the Lord, they went to heaven. But really, every person, there is reserved a spot that only God really knows every person. And so I think about my dad. I think about Beverly's mother and people that I knew as they were dying. They had victory and a good testimony. But at the same time, there is reserved a spot that only God makes that decision for every person. It's not my privilege. It's not my burden or responsibility for anybody even in this room. If you would go out of this door tonight today and you drop dead, it wouldn't affect you one way or the other for me to say, well, he went or she went. Only God. Only God knows those things. He knows what is in man. He knows the secrets of our hearts. I'm thankful that it's that way. He said here, therefore judge nothing before the time. So I don't have it in my heart today to just judge you. That's God's business. That's God's doings. I don't ever sit at home and think, oh, I wish so-and-so would, you know. I don't do that. But what we do with all of our acquaintances and friends and everyone here and people that we know, Lord, help us, make us all pure in our hearts and take us to heaven. Whatever it takes, take us all to heaven. I hope you understand my thought there today. Jesus knew what was in man. He knows our works. And I had a thought about that. It said that we would be judged. Let me just get that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is. In verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What's some of the other things that we have read about in the scripture? A scripture comes to my mind, Matthew 12 and 36, where Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. What's another one? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, we're going to have the secrets of our hearts. That means things that don't come out in words, and they don't come out in actions. But it would be intentions, motives, the secrets of our hearts. We'll be judged by those. We'll be judged by our words. We'll be judged by the things that we've done in our body. What's another one? I'm wanting the one where it says, he'll judge all men by their works. Where is that one? The one that we read in Jude, it says, it talks about speeches and deeds. There's one that talks about fruit also, and I can't remember. I looked at it this morning, but I can't remember just where it is. The fruit of our doings. Maybe you can help me with that, honey. The fruit of our doings. Isaiah 3 and 10. Let's see what that is. We know these old men of God believed in the judgment. Enoch, Abraham, the prophets. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. That's pretty much talking about in this life, but I'm wanting the one where it talks about we'll be judged in the judgment by the fruit of our doings.
Jeremiah 21:14.
I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord. I'm still wanting one in the New Testament. Well, I think it's Jeremiah 17. I believe that's the one I read this morning. Jeremiah 17 and 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. To me, I think that goes a little farther. It goes to what happens, what our lives, the fruit of our lives. If I'm a man who wrote a book and it was published and it was a book that tried to persuade people to believe there was no God, what would be the fruit of that? If people read it, and I'm saying if, there have been men who have done this, and people after him read his book and decided there's no God. The fruit of that man's doings was many atheists who didn't believe in God. He turned many people away from God. That fruit, it keeps on going after he's dead at the judgment. When God calls this world into judgment, that person has a lot of fruit, evil fruit that is accumulated. God's going to judge him according to that fruit at the judgment. That makes it real serious, doesn't it, how we live our lives. We don't want to have things in our lives that after we're gone, they accumulate more and more and more. bad fruit. They influence people in a bad way. Let's see. What's another one? Psalms chapter 96. This scripture is repeated a few times in the Psalms. It's here in 96 and it's in 98. Verse 11, 96 and 11. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. I'm going to turn back there to Isaiah 11 where we talked about he would judge the earth. He won't judge after the hearing of his ears, after the sight of his eyes. No one can come up to God and say, you know about Dan? Let me tell you about Dan. Dan's really a bad guy. No one can do that to Jesus about you. Aren't you glad? That would be awful if he could be swayed by stuff that he heard about you, like some people are. But he knows. He knows Dan. He knows you. No one can come and sway his opinion. He is a righteous judge. It says, with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Justice, equity means justice, and it means a level. God is on the level. He will judge righteously. He will judge honestly. He won't be moved. He won't be bribed. He can't be sold or bought. He is the judge. You know, there are some judges on the earth that can be bought or sold. Money influences them. They respect persons. They have racial prejudices. They might judge a person this way or that way according to the man's skin color. Or whether he's rich or poor. But God is a righteous judge. He judges every man fairly. It says, with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. The one that we read in Psalms 96, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalm 98, verse 9, it says, he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. We can be comforted that there is nothing. There is not any person can pull something over on God, can fool him, can tell him a story about you or about me, and God say, that kind of influences me. No, God knows every one of us. Now, God also judges according to something, and I want to make sure that we realize that when God judges. What David prayed to God on Psalms 51, he said something to God like this, that thou mightest be clear when you judge. Verse 4 of Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. God says that he will be judging in righteousness. And David said, Lord, when you judge me, you're going to be clear. There's no one can question his judgment. It's going to be so right. It's going to be so accurate. And he's going to judge righteously, and he's going to judge with equity. And he's going to judge according to a man's understanding. That is great comfort. God isn't going to require, let's look at that one where he said, those who have been given much shall be required much. I might need help with that one too. Sometimes I can't. Mark chapter 4. No, it's not that one. Maybe it's Luke 16. That's not it either. I'm trying to find the one that says, that he will judge us according to what he has given us, what we're responsible for. Anyone have that yet? I know that it's, let's see, there's something of it in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just look at that. Well, while you're looking for that, I'm going to go to Matthew 7. He says here, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. So there's one way that the Lord is going to judge us. He's going to look at how we dealt with other people. If we were merciful, if we were kind and loving to other people, that's how he'll be with us. But what about if we're real judgmental and critical and harsh, and we bring people to a certain standard and we hold them and we don't have any mercy upon them and we very much condemn them in the things that they do? How, this scripture says that with that kind of judgment, God will judge us. Did you have that?
I wonder if it's not First Peter.
No, it's in the Gospels. It's something that Jesus said. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. What is the measuring standard for his judgments to us? We read about it already. He said, the word that I have spoken unto you, that is what will judge you in the last day. So he will measure our thoughts and our intents and our secrets of our hearts, our actions, our speech. He will measure it all according to what he has told us in his word. It's not going to be any person. It won't be your minister. It won't be your mother, your father. It will be God's word. That's the way that he will judge us. I'm sorry about this. I did not write these things down. And I remember I told you I have a new Bible. And the things that I have marked so clearly in my other Bible, I don't have them in this one. So I need to do that, right? Matthew But I think it's pretty important that we find it.
What does it say again?
It talks about the judgment according to responsibility. This might be. Let's look at Luke 12. Yes, that's, yes, thank you. This may seem a little difficult to understand, and I won't tell you that I understand all about it. It says in verse 47, "And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." I don't understand that. I don't understand that there could be... To me, it's you either get to go to heaven or you don't, you know. I don't understand how it could be less for one person than another. So I'm going to leave that with the Lord. He said this. It came down to us, and this is how we read it. But he does, it says here in my margin, the topic that's there is judgment according to privilege. And it helps me to understand that people who knew better will receive a stiffer, maybe that's not the word. They are more responsible than people who did not know. That's what he said here. He that knew not and did things, commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That really does put a seriousness upon things, because we are very responsible. We have been given a lot. We've been given opportunity. We have been given God's complete word. You have access, and I have access to know God's will. We have been given the Holy Spirit. We don't have any excuse. But still, God just doesn't throw it out there and say, you had the Bible and you had the Holy Spirit. Now, God still works with how you understood those things. Isn't that merciful and loving of Him?
Yeah.
I really thank the Lord for that, because people learn and people hear differently. You can have five students in the same room and you give them all the same command, and there will be some who do not understand it. When God judges us, He will judge us according to how we understood it. Now, that being said, we have opportunity to further our understanding. And if we don't take advantage of, we have opportunity to seek God and say, I don't understand this. I heard this week of a child who told his mother, "Mom, I was reading and I didn't understand it." He said, "I went and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't understand this." And he still didn't understand it. And so he prayed again. And he said, "Mom, God, talk to me." We have that opportunity. If we don't understand God's word, we have the opportunity to say, "God, make this real clear to me." And I hope every one of us do this. I hope none of us are guilty of what I heard one person say. Somebody said, "Well, what did God say to you about that?" And she said, "Well, I didn't ask God because I kind of figured what He would say." That's not honest. If we are like that, if we come before God and we know, we kind of know what he would say, and we don't really ask him, and we go away and say, God didn't say anything to me. God's going to read that one. He's going to read right through it. Judgment according to knowledge and understanding is very serious. It's not a cop-out. We have the opportunity to know exactly what God wants us to do. We can ask him, and if we don't get it, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. And when you don't seek and when you don't find, when you don't find what you're seeking for, he said, knock. Get a little bit more energy with what you're seeking for. Knock. And the door will be opened. So this morning, I just ask God, Lord, what do I feed the flock today? This is what God told me to say. I really believe he brought these scriptures and these thoughts to my mind. It's very serious, I know, but at the same time, it's comforting. God is a great... He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. He will save us. That's one scripture from Isaiah. I'm just thankful for all of the different things that I learned in the scriptures, looking these up to see how that God is just. God is equal. He's fair. I believe one of the prophets, was it Ezekiel, dealt with people who said, the way of the Lord isn't equal. And they had an idea that if my parents, how was it that they thought? If the parents were sinners, then the children would be judged according to the parents. And God let them know everybody is judged according to what he does, not his daddy. Your daddy may have killed a man, but you don't get... You may have implications in your life from that deed that your daddy may have done. It may hurt you and haunt you your whole life, but you won't be judged for it. You understand what I'm saying? God judges every man according to his own works. Now, let's just look at one more thing here. We read what Jesus said about him. How was it that we read it there where he, Matthew 25, when he shall come in his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now let's look at that scene in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation chapter 19, I believe, is 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Now this is when Jesus said that last day when he shall come in the glory of his holy angels, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. 2 Peter talks about that. The earth shall melt with fervent heat. Remember that verse? 2 Peter 3, where it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's the last day. That's the day then that he steps up to his throne, the throne of his glory, and it says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great would mean young and old, rich and poor, those in authority and those who they ruled. So everyone. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So he said the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to those things which were written in the books. Which books? There's two thoughts on this. One would be that every one of us has a life story. And it's an account of everything that we've ever done. And we want to make sure that the deeds of our life have been covered by Jesus' blood. And we want to make sure that our name is in the book of life. Another thought about the books would be these books. Jesus said that God will judge out of the words of my mouth. So it could be from the books of the Bible, or it could be your life books, or both. We could say that. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And it said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, what would write your name in the book of life? What does that? Trusting in Jesus to be your Savior. That records your name in the book of life. What would make your name be blotted out of the book of life? God says, God told Moses. Moses said to him, how was that? Moses told God to blot his name out, and he said to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And in Revelations, he talks about blotting. Let's get that. It's one of the churches he was talking to. He that overcometh, Revelations 3 and 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So it's dependent on if we turn again to our sins after we have been in the name, our name has been in the book of life. If we have been a believer, if we turn again into sin, he is obligated at that point to blot our name out of the book of life when we turn again to the Lord. Let's say a backslider. A backslider can be saved, and he can have his name enrolled in the book of life again. Jesus talked to his disciples. He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. So we want to walk with the Lord in white raiment. We want to overcome. And we want to make sure. And it's good for us. It's good for us to constantly look to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my name in your book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. I'm so thankful for the Lord being the kind of judge that he is. He is holy. He is righteous. He doesn't judge according to the appearance. He judges the heart. He doesn't listen to someone tale about you and then judge. He judges you according to what's inside. And he doesn't judge just by the letter of the law and say, here's what it says, here's what you did, that's it. He judges by how you understood. That's a great comfort to me. I just pray that God will help us today, whether we need comfort or whether we need a challenge, that the Lord will help us to think about the message today and make things sure and right in our walk with God.